So welcome back after long, long break. I think that we never had so long break as this July.
We're glad you're doing really well right now. So.
Well, thank you. I didn't plan this way, but well, actually, I will think about this my experience. This vertigo, it was pretty bad. And it's somehow connected with this topic we have, you know, that preparation on death, remembering of death. And it's interesting that you don't know I didn't know what is going on. I didn't know what is that. Actually, you think that you might die, you know, it was because who knows what is that. And you realize one thing, that it's so difficult at the time to focus your mind. So I realize that this practice Brianchino is going to teach us in this chapter is very important, because if you don't practice that, there is no way that in that most important time we would have strength to collect our minds and to push our mind towards God, because it's a moment of great weakness and difficulties, and usually it is connected with some kind of bodily weakness, and it doesn't help for some kind of spirit to make some kind of spiritual effort. But well, let's come to the book. Let's refresh a little bit what we are talking about, just in a very short time during those when we started and we didn't finish. It was not good, but oh. Brianchino, he teaches us that while there is this strange law in our souls that we know about death, we know about this reality, but we don't live according to this reality. Even we know that we are going to die, we live as we are going to live forever. Then he says, he taught us that remembrance on death is very important, and he says how we can obtain this ascetical practice, how we can keep remembrance on death in our mind. And he said it is through keeping commandments, gospel commandments. It means that because they remind us our weaknesses. The second way is that through remembrance of death coming through purification of mind. It means that when we are using tools of ascetical life, as it is prayer, receiving sacraments, reading gospel, reading holy fathers, fasting, control of thoughts. And Brianchino says that if we are doing that, so some kind it will come natural for us to keep this memory of death in our mind. And third way we should use is purification of heart. When we try to take out passions from our heart, when we try to conquer them and replace them with virtues, so then we start to see death as something what is attractive almost, because we know that it is our transition to eternal life. He told us that many saints who reached this purification of heart, they were even able to foresee day of their death. I don't know if I mentioned that movie Island, The Island. that this main monk, the main character, it was like funny in the end. He went somewhere to, I don't know, storage. He turned back in like some kind of white dress, like, it looked like this shirt, long one for sleeping. And then he went to casket and he ordered a monk who was there to go and tell Igumen, the superior, that that monk, and he said his name, died. And he was running to superior, meanwhile he died. And it is not, it was strange, the movie, but it fits what these Holy Fathers, they teach, what it was their experience. Somehow they foresaw their death, many of the saints. When you have purification of heart, you see somehow clearly. It's not like prophecy, it's difficult to explain what is that. But why not, you know, if we work hard to be with Christ and we try hard to love Christ and to sacrifice everything in order to please Him in everything, it's normal to, well, it's natural that He can give like really great gifts for His servants in measure of their love and sacrifice. Then he continues that he continued in this that those who rejected the world, they find in themselves something is broken. Broken. Well, don't kill them. That it's probably quiet now. all right. That what is teaching, he taught us that more we are trying to make progress in our spiritual life, so more we expect death as a this sweet moment, meeting with Christ. And there is a paradox. We still have fear of death, because death is horrible. But we are free from some kind of fantasies. But there is this again. Many times we say that, well, as it is like tears over our sins are mixed with joy from knowing God. It is always like these opposites are present in heart of people. So the same thing, this thought about death is that we are afraid of this moment because we are going to stand in front of our Lord. But in the same time, we are looking forward. More we purify our heart, more we are like looking forward to meet Him, to enter to His presence. And all right, I think that this is some kind of summary what we were talking before, and now we will continue on page 233 from the top. One paragraph, please.
Rise up from your bed as one who is resurrected from the dead. Lie down in your bed every evening as though it were your coffin. Sleep is an image of death, and the darkness of the night is a foreshadowing of the darkness of the tomb, after which the light of the resurrection will shine forth, so joyful for the slaves of Christ, so fearful for His enemies.
All right, so he continues in this topic with practical exercise, ascetical exercise. And this exercise, the goal is to somehow come to this frequent memory of death. for us, because this is something what keeps us, keeps our vigilance alive and ignites zeal for God and for holy life. And he gives this practical advice that connect this exercise with your evening prayers. And you who pray this publican book, it is a set of evening prayers for like in Eastern Church, you remember that there is this prayer of Saint John of Damascus, and he says that he starts his prayer with question, will this bed will be my coffin this night? And when you read that first time, it is like, oh, this is tough. But it really, if we read with open heart these prayers, it's like the most powerful prayer I pray, you know, like all the day sometimes, because it give you shake a little bit. And so even it is like scary, we should not skip that. It's good for us to bring that and bring this remembrance of death to before this evening, because sleeping night is really like image of death, because we are entering to sleep when all our senses almost are like turned off. We are not aware of what is going on around us. Sometimes we have, it depends how you sleep, you know, you can wake up easily, but usually you don't know that a person who sleeps is similar to person who is dead, without movement, without some kind of activity, outside activity, except those necessary things which are connected with sleep. I remember one man, it's many years, still I was a young priest, he told me that he had a problem with his heart, and he said that when it was somehow fixed, his problem, he said from the time he had, like, he was afraid to sleep, because he was like, oh, if something happens during my sleep, I will be not able to take pills which would help me and I would die. And I remember I felt with him, because my grandmother, she had problems with heart, and after her death, grandfather, he said that, well, he was always afraid that she could die in sleeping, and she died in this way. Mm-hmm. So she went to bed and she died next during night, nobody knows when. And then man, he didn't read Brancha, you know, or Holy Fathers, but somehow naturally he came to this conclusion that he started to practice that that remembrance of death. And he added to his prayers evening that, well, O Lord, if it is your will, I will die during this night. Who am I to fight with you? He said. And I have no power to change your will. Please just be merciful to me, a sinner. You know that I am not ready, but if you want to take me with mercy. And he said that he told this his thoughts to his friends, and they told him that you are morbid, you know, that you are horrible to think about these things because it will not help you, you know, because you just make your state worse, you know, and you can have anxiety or depression or something. But he said, well, they didn't know what they were talking about, because he said this short prayer helped him to remove fear and to obtain peace. And he said, but Father, he told me that, but you don't know how happy I am morning when I wake up. Mm-hmm. Woke up. So, well, it's strange. This practice, this exercise, remembrance of death, is horrifying for those who don't believe in God, who have no hope in eternal life, because it has to be horrifying. And I think that we can see that in society, many people they live in this fear, even they don't say. They do really a lot of things just to somehow remove the thought, this reality from their lives. And many things we see, and we are some kind like, okay, why are you doing that? And it's just some kind of way how to put the thought of death to outside somewhere. Okay. Questions or comments? Nothing about that? Can continue? All right, sir.
Even though clouds are nothing more than gases, they can prevent the light of the sun. Similarly, insignificant bodily pleasure, distraction, and cares of the world occlude majestic eternity from the eyes of our soul. The sun in its pure sky shines in vain for the blind man, and so eternity seems to not exist for the heart that is passionately attached to the world, to all its glories and honors and sweetness.
Okay, so this is very interesting, because he explains us reasons for many of our activities or activities of people, how they resist to this reality of death, and what causes that we are not preparing for death, for this meeting with Christ. And actually saying that, well, even like Christians, we don't put ourselves to some kind of opposition, that we don't believe in eternal life. We say, yes, we believe, but we want to live like forever on earth. We resist death, but it's some kind of schizophrenia. You know, and one way we admit that, another way we act as death doesn't exist. You know, I remember that one priest, I heard him to preach, and he said, well, you know, all people will die. Who knows, maybe I will die too. And he said this, he was like a joke, but he meant it seriously. And he expressed through this what was in his soul, this thought that, well, okay, I believe I am preaching about that, but still I am not. I am resisting to this. I am trying to, I am in this position, in this state that, well, I don't believe that death will be touching me. Even I know that this is reality. And now, what causes that problem that we resist this reality of death and we try not to think about that? Reginald says that even insignificant bodily pleasures and worries of the world can put some kind of shade for eternity. Person who finds pleasure in things of this world will not seek really eternal life. And when we read before maybe a year, 2 years ago, is that we read what Brechin was saying, that that people who are under the rule of passions are blind to spiritual things. They don't deny them, but this knowledge of these spiritual things doesn't make any impact in their souls. It is not something what pushes them to work hard under salvation. Saint Isaac Syrian says, and I repeat very often because it is a problem, he says that if human heart is filled with world, this heart cannot receive knowledge which comes from above. And now, what is world? Now, Brechin is talking about these bodily pleasures, but what is world? World is, when Holy Fathers speak about world, they are talking about two realities. One reality are all those impulses which are coming from the world, and they try to raise our desire for bodily and spiritual and or bodily pleasures and pleasures or like pride, vainglory, other these passions of soul. Those they are coming from outside, and then world is in our heart too. Are those impulses which are coming from our heart, which is not purified yet, and they push us to follow things which are in opposition with the gospel. And until those things, these desires and these for pleasures, these passions, they live in our life, they are present there, they cause that we don't see clearly eternal life. They push us down, they push our eyes back to the world only. That even we see, we know through our intellect, that faculty of intellect, reason, that yes, there is eternal life, and I believe in eternal life. This knowledge is not active in us in that way that would push us to make spiritual progress. So, and it is very important to think about this, and because we can easily point to the others, that well, and we can imagine many people that probably the person is not looking up. But I think that, but we have to be very critical to ourselves, to be strict judges of our thoughts, to find out if we don't have the same problem, that we are on a quest for all kinds of things which the world offers or which satisfies somehow our worldly desires, or we are oriented towards heaven. And it is not easy task, because many times when we test ourselves, we have to make judgment on ourselves and to admit I failed. I really, my mind is connected with this world too much. Too much. But it doesn't mean, you know, now again, we have to return many chapters back, this renouncing of the world. Yesterday when we had this, when Grover was received to the church, and he made these renewal vows, baptism vows, and all we who were in during liturgy, it was actually nice to hear people that they answer together with him. It was beautiful. But what we are, it is a reminder what happened during our baptism, that these three questions, are you renouncing Satan, all his work, all his pride, or his, I don't know how it continues, or his service, I think. So this is the moment when we say no to world. It means to all those impulses were coming from outside, and even those impulses which comes out from our weaknesses and from our passions, that we said no to them. But reality of our day, we can be, it's just easy to think about a part of our day when we can find out that, well, I was consumed with world too much. And we could say, oh, it might be very radical, but it is. Gospel is radical. This is what we are promising during baptism. And again, we have this, we can have objections that, well, this is for monks, not for us who live in the world. We have our duties, we have our responsibilities, we have to take care of our children, of our work, we have to provide for our families. But nobody says that you should not do this. Gospel calls us to rearrange priorities in our life. And the most important, like these priorities, the most important thing for Christians is first responsibility is to come to salvation. Actually, to prepare soul in that way that soul is able to receive this grace of salvation from Christ's hands. This is our only and the most important job. And then everything else should follow that. Okay, yes, this is more, this is job, more, the most important job, to use this time for preparation for eternal life. This, and then, yeah, okay, but I have to eat something. Okay, so I need to plan something. Or I am going to work to, and may I earn some money to buy what is necessary. Of what is necessary for me, for my family, for, you know, everything what is needed. But not work is in the first place. This is just something, the work, the most important work is our salvation. This, and the other things we are doing is just what is necessary for life. We have to provide for our life. And once we try to this to rearrange these priorities in our life, it will help us to, as he said, it will force us to keep commandments, and keeping of commandments bring alive this memory of death to us. So everything is somehow connected in spiritual life. So we should like look to, if I use this image, we should look up and to wonder if we see sun or we see just dark clouds. if we see Christ or we just see and look up all our worries and other priorities than our salvation and life in Christ. Right. Questions, comments? No? It's difficult, is it? Yes, Joanne.
I'm not so worried or afraid of the judgment so much as I am. There's going to be a fight with the devil right before we see God, or I don't know whether it's before or during or what. And I'm thinking, what if the devil comes and deceives me then, and I think he's a good guy and I do whatever he says?
I'm not getting what you are trying to say.
The devil's gonna, while we're dying, that's his last chance to get our souls.
Yeah.
So that's what I worry about, is if at that time, how is he going to deceive me, or am I gonna know that it's the devil's work that's going on at the time?
Gotcha.
The better we're prepared through all of this and liturgy and sacraments, we'll recognize him. You know, the better prepared we are, the more easily we'll recognize him, the deceiver.
I hope so.
Well, look, I will put it this way, that you brought interesting and point. And this is true, that really, usually many people, when they are dying, they have the biggest temptations. Now, for example, if if somebody finds, what would be a good example? Some compassion. All right, this is easy. If somebody doesn't fight during life with thoughts, I think which brought impure thoughts, these impure thoughts that actually, he says, okay, that person gives up and says, well, let the fantasy work. So that person, when then evil one for sure will take advantage and will attack this place during like time of death. And if you didn't acquire like skill to fight with temptation, or to immediately to run to Christ with asking for mercy. So how it's really, you cannot expect that you will find this skill in the moment of death. Okay, so if you are neglecting something in this life and you are ignoring that, for sure it might be that this kind of temptations in the end, and you will not know how to fight with that. You will not have this muscle of souls to conquer that. But on the other hand, we should have hope. We should have hope for God's mercy when we try to fight, even if we are losing. We should have this hope because God loves us, and his mercy can find even the smallest crack, you know, to flood our soul with mercy for our salvation.
I've thought about this for a long time, and you know, what would I do? Hopefully I'll know I'm dying, and I decided I was just going to say the Jesus prayer over and over and over and over and talk to the devil.
I would
I would like to add. I would like to add something. You said. You said the devil might, maybe, trick you. I would like to add that, you know, for a sin to be mortal, like, you know, it requires full knowledge, full consent. So, you know, the devil can't, you know, he can't be tricked into mortal sin. So, you know, when you're facing that last battle before death, it's gonna be a clash of wills. You're gonna know when you fall short. You're not gonna be tricked.
I never thought about it. He would be leading me to mortal sin or venial sin, but that's a good way to think about it. That I'm in my faith enough to know
Well, let's think this way. Where there is temptation, there's a grace.
Okay.
You know, nobody is left without God's help and grace at the moment of death. You said that there will be battle of wills. Yeah, I would say there will be battle between like this God's grace and this temptation. And but one thing is that if we neglect our spiritual life during our life, it might be difficult. But if we are trying to run to God's mercy all time, every day, and beg for forgiveness, and actually to try to somehow improve our life, we will be able to do this. Remember that story I told you, it's from Evagrius, this collection of sayings of Holy Fathers. There was one monk who was so weak, he had one passion, that he was frequently failing and sinning. And always when he sinned, he ran to the church. You know, and he prostrated in front of the icon of Christ. He was begging for forgiveness, and he was promising, "I promise you that I will not commit it again. I will fight with that." But many times when he left church, almost immediately he felt sin, the same sin again, and he turned and went back to the church, and he repeated that. And there was, I just want to make this story shorter, but there was like once Satan accused, when this monk was doing prostration, monk accused Christ that, well, you are calling yourself just, but you're not just because you are forgiving him again, and he's failing again. And Christ said, well, anyway, there was a discussion, but in the end, Christ told Satan to let you know that I am just. I am taking the soul of this servant now, when he was laying in front of icon. You know, so yes, God showed him great mercy, but in the same way, he kept his justice. The man was making like repentance, and God called him in this time. But this monk was practicing that for all time. He was, you know, and God saw his effort, his fight. Yes, he was weak, he was fighting again, but in the end he won this battle because God chose the moment when his soul was ready for heaven. So we have to have this hope that God is not that one who is searching, like, I don't know how it is here, but in Slovakia you have cops who are hiding behind trees and bushes, measuring like speed, you know, and then they are collecting money, or they change like this sign, usually that it will go like 5 miles less, you know, And then for 1 week they had like harvest, you know, that everybody used to some kind of like speed. So God is not acting this way. Actually, he's waiting because he loves us and he wishes our salvation. So if we are trying, but even we don't reach this perfectness, because of our effort, he will choose the moment when we'll be ready. And I don't, maybe I will be repeating myself. I don't remember exactly what we said before, but look, my experience during, I think, 31 years as a priest and, well, this fourth parish, those who were taking their life, spiritual life, seriously, were trying to come for confessions often, they were trying to receive communion, they were trying to do something for their souls as we are doing now, and so they were showing this effort, you know, and this desire for heaven. I don't remember one of those who would not die without anointing, without receiving communion, without confession. Never. You know? And the same thing is that if there was somebody who was maybe not taking care of spiritual life, ignorant, but usually there were wives who were like really warriors, praying for their husbands and like non-stop asking God for conversion. Yeah, oh, my mind is not working today. And it is amazing how does it work. You know, it is like conversions in the last minute of life, I would say. God is good. God wishes our salvation and is searching for all sinners. So, well, it is really, and this is even like why we are going to start this prayer group, you know, to pray for our parish, to really pray for, to have these very warriors who would really beg for God's mercy for everything what we need as a parish, you know, for those who are here, to for the protection, all these intentions I mentioned, and many more. And when we ask, God gives us. God gives us.
Yeah. Wouldn't hurt to pick up a brown scapular, though.
What?
Wouldn't hurt to pick up a brown scapular. Our Lady always keeps her promises. So.
Yeah. Let me tell you a story. My husband didn't practice. He was a convert, and he started working nights, and then so he didn't go to Mass just before they had the Saturday Masses. And you know, he didn't not believe, but he just, you know, didn't go to church or anything, so I prayed for him all the time. And shortly after he died, I don't know whether it was a couple weeks or a month or so, I had a dream, and I was in my house, and my children and everybody was just, it was just every day, you know, people were in and out of the room, and I saw him, and I can't see you. You're dead. I'm thinking that to myself. And he says, "I'm okay, Joanne." Now my nephew was working on my windows, caulking my windows, and he was back in the garage. And I was there with him, and I told him I had a dream of Jerry last night. And he dropped everything. He goes, "What was the dream?" And so I told him. He goes, "He had the very same dream, only he said everything was all right to my nephew." So I took that he's either in purgatory or heaven, you know, that my prayers were answered.
Ryan, you know, be careful with dreams. you know. But, well, I can tell this, but the sign which was powerful was that he received sacraments before his death. I was there. I remember that. You know, day before his death, he made peace with God.
Yeah, well, I remember you telling me, he was okay too.
Well, anyway, let's not go there. You know, it's connected, covered with secrecy, you know. But, okay, let's wrap this, your experience. This is, but well, this is a good example that I know that because it was several years after I came here, and I knew about it. You were coming for the church, you know, before I came here. Only when we had daily liturgy, there was Marcelka, my wife, and I, we saw liturgy, or Joanne was there, and Charles Williams. He's moved to Florida now. It is like only like for several years it was this way. And so we talk a lot, and I knew that you are praying hard. And it was like your husband was always, you know, somehow in your heart, and you were fighting for him. And that he with full senses received all sacraments before that, when for me it was that God answered your prayers. You know, this was clear sign. And yes, you can somehow incline that, well, this was message, this dream for you, because, well, the mercy of God was visible in that case. It was almost like, okay, you know that God is acting now. You know, so you are not making wrong conclusion. But you know, there is a different cases that people who don't care and suddenly they die, and even, well, and many times priorities even don't call priests to come over. They just come about funeral, and then you hear these words that, well, now he's in good place, now he's playing golf with his friends up. I said, well, look, you are not Christians, you know.
Oh, I still have masses
in form
and everything.
Sure, we should non-stop to pray for that, you know, that. Sure. Thank you for your that you brought it. All right. May you continue?
Mm-hmm.
We will be able to make another paragraph.
The death of sinners is evil. It comes to them in that time when they expect it least. It comes to them, but they have not prepared for it in the least, nor have prepared for eternity. They have not even gained any real understanding of what death or eternity are. And death snatches unprepared sinners from the face of the earth, upon which they only angered God, and it hands them over to the eternal prisons of hell.
Tough words. You know, tough words. John, in his first letter, Apostle John, he says that if you don't love, you are staying in death. You don't love. I don't know if I made good translation, correct translation in English, but meaning is this. And again, what does it mean? We talk about this many times, that how we are supposed to understand this. If you don't love, it's not, well, this worldly thinking is, which came to some kind of Christian thinking, is, well, a person was a kind person. He loved his dog, children, grandchildren. He was happy to hang out with his friends, so he was a nice person. He loved. Well, this is nothing. This kind of love is not love God is talking about. God says exactly what does it mean to love. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. This is sign of real love. Love is not emotion. Well, in some way it is, you know, but usually if we try to love God through keeping commandments, it's hard work. That it is like painful. For majority of our spiritual life, it is like denying ourselves to dying ourselves. But later when we progress, you know, like, you know, in spiritual life, then and we remove our passions, we are entering, or we are getting something like foretaste of heaven, that despite of this hard work and sacrifices, we start to feel this sweetness of this future glory which expects us. If we don't try to live this love, to love God and to love neighbor, and again, to love neighbor, it is not think of emotion or just something they want to be nice to as a person in eyes of others. There is really something which causes that some kind of sacrifice because of God. So we don't have this kind of love, we are staying in death. And hell, damnation, is this eternal death. When we are staying in this darkness. Good.
Yeah, that just reminded me of something our Lord said in the Gospels. You know, when he said, if you love those who only, if you only love those who also love you, you know, what good is that? Like, you know, if you just, you know, like they say, oh, well, he loved his wife and his children and his grandchildren. Well, so does almost everyone else who has those, you know. Like, what did you do for others, though? Did you really love your neighbor?
Sure. And this is something what is present in teaching of Holy Fathers, that all time when we read them, they remind us this reality and this of spiritual life, of Christ's commandments, of state of our soul, and they say, well, look, take it seriously because it is about your soul, about your eternity. And I think that now, if you look to church, now, when you open media, it's almost impossible to avoid those news or experiences people have with connections, many crises, all kinds of crises. And we say, well, what is going on? Why church, it should be like stone, like really, now it is like we are losing stability. And we even cannot believe that, well, this can be happening. And the same thing we see, that how many people are losing their faith. Look, I don't know, I said it yesterday after liturgy, that probably here we are living time when last generation which lived or supported on fumes of faith of previous generation will be gone. Now, relatively young parents now who still kept, or they are keeping some kind of, not faith, I would say, active faith, but just some kind of tradition, this some feeling that I should go to a church. But they will not raise children to faith. They will not will let their children to be baptized. And it is visible now, there are grandparents now who are taking care of grandchildren, and they care, you know, and what is great, what is good, and thanks God for their faith and their this intention, because they can save these children. But we are losing now whole generation which refuse already to keep some kind of social habit to go to the church. And we see this impact in society. We are talking what is going on in society. Well, if society is not built on faith, on these principles, so then everything's allowed. The law of jungle is the law of most powerful, most louder, and violent will prevail. We are not going to easy times, and I think that all these signs are here, which calls us to, okay, to ask serious questions. What happened? Why Christians allow this happened? Why Christians lost this power to form society, to form new generation? And then when we turn to Holy Fathers, we realize that we abandoned a lot of their wisdom. And when we try to live some kind of easy Christian life, most pleasing ourselves than God. And we can feel clearly that only way out from crisis in church we see, or crisis in the society, is to return radically back to real life with Christ.
It's interesting that you say that, because what I see, at least in Western Christianity, is in order to get people back, they'll radically change the teaching. And I'm thinking of the German church in particular.
Will not help them.
But it won't, because I've seen Protestant churches do the same thing, and their churches are empty and dying.
Yeah. Well, look, but there are good signs, and if you have eyes open, you can see new movement. And I will point here on this part of table that is just, it's amazing to see young people to really go and to draw choosing radical way without compromises. And even like, I would say, older priests. I am older priest already, but but more older priest, older than I am. Sometimes they are surprised. What is going on? You know, these young people are a little bit like crazy, too radical. But truth is, I think that God is really sending this grace to raise new generation, and. We should support them, you know, and maybe to be encouraged by their example. Are you listening? You should not, because you can get like this temptation to be proud.
Yeah.
Okay. So forget what I said. But I think it's, so there are good signs. I am not pessimistic. One thing is that I know that I will not see probably huge renewal of church, maybe something. But I can see that if we start to put good seeds and we start to make efforts, and it's so amazing to see young parents now, you know,
especially here,
you know, I really am touched when I see these little ones.
We're not young anymore.
You are young. But, well, look, many of our young families, they are bringing their little children, and they are formed, you know, just through being in the church all the time. So you are putting these seeds from which new generation of Christians will raise, and very strong. And they will bring, there will be new vocations, there will be new, new clergy is coming out, which is very strong. And then bishops, and well.
God will always provide trust in God.
After when there is like big crisis, there is a big grace too. And we should be ready to be willing to accept this invitation to this deeper life with Christ. And through remembrance of death, which helps us. Okay, receive the blessing.